But let me just say, Danny kind of stole my thunder a little bit talking about the meeting. That's what I was planning on speaking on this morning, was the gospel meeting. The time is here. And this has been in the works for some time. It was in the works before I ever got here last January. Okay? This meeting's been planned for over a year and a half. A lot of work has gone into it. And the time is here. It starts Friday, as Danny pointed out. 7 o'clock Friday and Saturday night, the regular time on Sunday morning. It's been announced. It's been advertised. It's been all over the world, Facebook. It's been advertised every week, every couple of days on Facebook. So my question for you is, are you excited about it? Are you delighted that we're having a gospel meeting? I tell you what, with COVID, I've really missed gospel meetings. And I'm glad that I've been able to go to a few. Or are you dismayed? Are you thinking, another one? Is it time? Or are you just plain disinterested? You don't care if they're having a gospel meeting here or anywhere else. Or are you just disgusted with the fact that we've hired a man to come in and preach Friday, Saturday, and 3 lessons on Sunday? I want to ask you a question this morning. What exactly is a gospel meeting? What exactly is it? Usually it's a multi-day event hosted by a congregation like here, and it's open to the public. Not just for those here that are members at Eastside, but any other congregation that has seen this announcement, they want to come, they're welcome to come. But my question is, have you invited people? Are you interested in the meeting enough to invite family or friends or neighbors? Or are you just disgusted, disinterested, or whatever, and don't care if anybody comes? This is an event where there is a guest speaker, a preacher, an evangelist, who presents a series of lessons. Now, I've oftentimes have observed the following things. Some people look forward to gospel meetings, and they will attend every service where it is possible for them to be there. Sometimes they even attend gospel meetings that are conducted by other area churches, and they'll be there at those meetings. But like I said, there are others that just appear not to care. And they'll make very little effort, if any, to attend at all. Regardless of how much work these elders have put into it, the preachers put into it, or other members have put into it, they won't be there. Maybe the difference is due to a failure to appreciate why it is good to attend gospel meetings. And especially why we should try in our own lives to attend every service during our own gospel meeting. So let me suggest several things to you why I believe it's important that we are here. The first thing that I want to suggest to you is that you need to be here to support a great message. Whether you like the preacher, whether he's dry as toast, whether he's flamboyant, it doesn't matter. If he's preaching God's message, it is a great message. The gospel will be preached Friday night, Saturday night, 3 times on Sunday. The message of God's word is going to be proclaimed. And when you think about it, the Bible says that that is a very powerful thing. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Hebrew writer says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Two things there. This sword is not a blade with the edge on one side and blunt on the other. This sword is designed to cut both going and coming. And it is a discerner of the hearts of mankind. It knows your heart. So if you're not here, maybe you're disinterested or disgusted or whatever the case may be, God's word knows your heart. But there's another thing about this magnificent Word of God. It also is a producer of faith. Paul writes in Romans 10 verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So let me ask you a simple question. Is your faith strong enough? In this old world that we live in, does your faith need a boost every now and then? Do you need that encouragement from God's Word? Then why not attend every time that God's Word is proclaimed? Faith comes by hearing. And if you want to hear the Word of God, when you want to hear it, you ain't getting enough. Isn't God's Word worth our support? Anytime the Bible is open and we're gathered together in a public capacity such as this, as long as COVID keeps its ugly head out, isn't it worth our effort to support God's Word? You know, some men at that point would say amen, and I say amen because we need to support God's Word. But it is a great message because when a gospel meeting takes place, the preacher proclaims the gospel of Christ. Paul again would tell us in Romans 1 verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Just a little word knowledge here for you. When he uses that word power, that's where we get our Greek word, that's where the Greek gives us our word dynamite. So when Paul writes here in the Greek, he's saying that the Word of God is like dynamite. It's that explosive power that can move mountains. Remember Jesus told his disciples that their faith could move mountains? Could your faith move an anthill? Do you believe in the Word of God? Are you ashamed of the Word of God? The message Jesus wants preached every day is going to be preached here this weekend. It's preached every Sunday. It's preached every Sunday night. And it's taught every time the Bible is opened here. In Mark 16, Mark's account of the Great Commission, go into all the world, Jesus said, and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Again, isn't the gospel of Christ worthy of our support? Tim Ruffin's coming. He's on his way, basically. He's already been talking to the elders and preparations made for him to be here. Travel arrangements have been made. He's on his way. Now the question is, are you going to be here? Are you going to support his efforts? He's coming all the way from West Tennessee, Bartlett, Tennessee. That's a nice 4-hour drive or so. And he's coming up here to open his Bible and preach to you God's Word. Are you going to support him? Or are you going to be cold and indifferent? Our presence during this meeting shows our support not just for Tim Ruffin, not just for him, but any man that stands in the pulpit and preaches the Word of God. It's showing our support for the message that he is delivering. The message, that great message that Christ offered to the world. So if you're absent for whatever reason, now I'm talking about an absence where you willingly choose not to be here. If you're absent, what does that show? Forget about mankind. Forget about your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're absent because you just don't want to be here, what does that tell Christ about you? You know, Jesus is going to have that book open in the last day. And he's going to look at you and he's going to say, well, now, Esau offered a gospel meeting. And you never showed up once. Or you showed up one time out of 5 sermons. If he asks you why, what are you going to say? I know somebody will have a good explanation, a good reason, won't they? But will it be good enough for Jesus? Well, I had to work that night. I understand that. I don't know if Jesus does. Well, I was sick. I understand. Sickness happens. I'm not talking about those events and times where you can't control your environment. Your boss may tell you, you have to work. I'm talking about when you willfully choose not to serve God. When you willfully choose not to attend. So, if you're here, you're supporting a great message. But you know what? Also, if you're here, you're going to receive a great message. Like I said, I've never heard Tim speak. I think Danny and Jason have. For all I know, he could be dry as toast. Not a very good speaker at all. But if he preaches the truth, will you not get something out of it? You know, a gospel meeting has a twofold purpose. One purpose is to evangelize, to preach God's word, to seek and to save the lost by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to provide that opportunity for your friends, for your family, for your neighbors, and even for the strangers in this community to come and hear the gospel proclaimed. You know, I don't know if you listen to the radio program, but it's been advertised on the radio program. Free advertisement, Benny. And I know from some of you that we've got good Baptists in this community that listen to the radio program. Who says they won't show up one night to receive a great message? Another purpose is to edify. Edify you and edify myself. We will be exhorted. We'll be exhorted to love one another, as the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 10, verse 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approach. I like this translation of this passage. Let us consider how we may spur one another on, stir up, some passages say, some translations, toward love and good deeds. Love of what? Love of who? Good actions toward one another. But it says, not giving up meeting together. So you have to ask yourself, this is an opportunity for you to meet together with those of like precious faith. He also says that some do that. They don't meet together because it's a habit. And I think sometimes that's the only reason some people don't attend, is it's a habit. Well, I used to go all the time, every time the doors was open, but somewhere along the line I just stopped going, and now it's a habit. A tradition, like we talked about this morning, a ritual. We need to be encouraging one another, he says there in verse 25. And all the more as we see the day approaching. There's coming a day. As I've already mentioned, that we're going to stand before Christ. Let me tell you something. I get a great deal of encouragement from all of you. Some I get more encouragement from than others. And I try to let you know. But I'm encouraged by all of you that are here. I really am. Now my question is, do you get encouragement by being here? Do you have people coming to you and saying, boy, it's good to see you today. Pat you on the back. I'm so glad to see you. I know you've been struggling, and I appreciate your effort to be here. Another reason in edifying is what we see in Revelation 2, verses 4 and 5. Jesus told the church there, said, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. You were strong. He says, consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. When you first obeyed the gospel. You know, I talk about this sometimes. When you have someone that obeys the gospel, they come up out of that water and they're ready to go to work. They're chomping at the bit. They want to do this. They want to do that. And we go, oh, buddy, slow down. You need to slow down and let us catch up to you. Jesus said, if you do not repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place. Judgment is coming. Another reason we're edified is to revive those who've lost their first love. Gospel meetings are designed with you in mind. They're designed for the members here at Eastside in mind to meet every person's needs. But I ain't going to be there. Well, how are you going to benefit from the purpose of this meeting? How are you going to be edified? And how are you going to edify if you're not here? You know, wouldn't it be a sad state of affairs if the elder says, well, half the people won't be there. There ain't no need in having a gospel meeting. We'll just cancel all of them from now on out. How would you feel about that? Well, it don't matter to me. I wasn't going to be there anyway. Well, you're why they were going to cancel them. Why aren't we willing to attend and edify each other? Why aren't we willing to attend and build our faith? Why? I don't get it. Yeah, I grew up and we didn't go to all that many gospel meetings. We went to some. But the more I've grown, the more I realize how many people there are in this world that love the gospel of Christ. They love other Christians. And I have so missed that last year. I have so missed that. And I am ready for COVID to be buried in the sand and us to get back to normal life so that we can hug each other, love each other, hug each other, and worship our Father together. But you know, gospel meetings offer something for everyone. For everyone. It offers something for the sinner. Yeah, that's why we need to have them, isn't it? The gospel of Christ that tells of God's love for them. The familiar passage is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You know, I had a friend of mine that preached a lesson on that one verse, for God so loved the world. But I like to look at it this way. Travis, if you got your grandkids where you ask them how much do they love you, and they go, I love you this much. Can you measure how much this is? No, you can't. But even if your grandchild says, I love you this much, you know it's more than this. God loves you more than this. He was willing to send His only Son, His only Son to this world so that you could come home to Him in heaven. How do we respond to that? Well, I don't think I have to be there. John writes in 1 John 4 and verse 10, in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That perfect sacrifice. And how do we respond? Well, Jeff, you're talking about sinners. Well, yeah. The plan of salvation that tells how people should respond to God's love. Mark 16, we've already noticed this. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who believes not will be condemned. Acts 2 in verses 37 and 38, when Peter preached that sermon, the men there answered Peter, replied to him, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, to have your sins washed away, blotted out. Yes, a gospel meeting is for sinners, but it's also for those that are saved. Here we go. It's for those that already have Christ. Those that have already been baptized, if you will. To take the apostles' doctrine and to grow in God's grace. We notice Acts 2 and verse 42 that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Let me ask you a question. If you're only here a third of the time, are you devoted? If you're picking and choosing the times you want to be here, are you devoted to the apostles' teaching? I dare say the answer is no. We look at 1 Peter chapter 3, or 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, where Peter says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever." When we grow, we glorify Jesus. But I ain't going to be there, Jeff. Well, how are you glorifying Christ? How are you building your faith? Gospel meetings are designed for sinners and the saved. 2 Peter, well, that's the wrong passage. No, it's not. The apostles' doctrine teaches us for the grace that is to come. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded," being alert, "set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then 2 Peter 1, verses 10 and 11. "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure." Well, Jeff, I'm already a Christian. I've already received God's salvation. I don't feel like really? Is that going to be your argument? You're already saved, so in essence, you feel like since you've got your ticket punched, you don't have to be there? You don't have to attend? Peter says, make your call and election sure. He says, "For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an inheritance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Gospel meetings indeed are designed for the benefit of the sinner, but also for those who have already received God's salvation. Our presence shows our desire to receive that great message that Jesus has to offer. But if our presence shows that, what does our absence show? So finally, I want to suggest that we attend the gospel meetings and all services to send a great message. Gospel meetings allow us to demonstrate our priorities in our life. We oftentimes cite Matthew 6 and verse 33. Jesus speaks there in those previous verses about anxiety. And he says in verse 33, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. If you want to worry about stuff, put God first. You know, and I don't know that I've picked up a commentary and read about this passage where they all don't agree to some extent that if you believe this, that God will take care of you. God will take care of you if you put Him first. Years ago, when I was working factory work, Marilyn had, she was pregnant with Daniel. And she has what was called at that time gestational diabetes. I was worried, so every time she would go to the doctor, I'd take some time off, leave the job, and go to the doctor with her. Well, the higher ups got to looking at the attendance chart. And they took me in the office. Here's the big manager, my manager, and the union steward, which I was not a member of the union at that time, but I had to have representation. So they go in there, and this big manager, he was an imposing figure. He was 6'4", 6'5", 6'6". They said he used to stand on a hay trailer, put one foot on the ground and lay the other foot up on the trailer without straining or anything, that he was that tall. So he's standing there and he gets up at the end of the table and he says, "Jeff, we show that you've been missing a lot of time." He said, "You know that can't allowed to carry, be carried on." He said, "What you got to say for yourself?" And I told him the situation. He said, "Well, let me tell you something. The name of the company is Heil Quaker." He says, "Heil Quaker has to come first in your life." I interrupted him. I said, "It ain't even in the top five." I said, "It ain't even in the top five." I said, "If my wife is having issues with a pregnancy and she's going to the doctor, I'm being with her. I said, if that costs me my job, so be it. And he looked at my supervisor, my immediate supervisor, and the supervisor says, I'm with Jeff. I'm with Jeff. He said, I know production means something on the assembly line. He says, but family comes first. And the union steward, who had to take my side in this, in my defense, he looked at the big manager and he says, I agree with Jeff. He said, I don't care what your production numbers are or how much he's missing. He said, you need to be working with Jeff instead of you trying to make him work with you. What are your priorities in life? Does the kingdom of God come first in your life? Well, you show that by supporting the gospel being preached. You show that by your attendance. You show that by being at the gospel meeting. You show that by taking advantage of every opportunity for Bible study. But it also shows your attitude toward the gospel. Remember, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. So, when I'm not in attendance, am I actually saying, well, yeah, I am ashamed of it? But it also gives me an opportunity to show my concern for those that are lost. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. It allows me to let them know that I have compassion for them and their souls. But also it shows your support for your brethren. Romans 15, verses 1 and 2. I know that you want to encourage them in their endeavors to preach the message, to get God's word out to those that are lost and dying in this world. I know you love your brethren enough to support them. But you know what? Gospel meetings reveal a lot about us. Paul writes in Romans 6 and verse 16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave to whom you obey, whether to sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. My lack of attitude in serving God shows that I'm not a slave, a servant to Christ. It shows rather that I am a slave or a servant to the devil. When I willingly choose not to support the preaching of the gospel, not to support my brothers and sisters in Christ in the preaching efforts, not to be in attendance when, and I'm talking, understand me, I'm not talking about sickness. I'm not talking about illness. I'm not talking about times when you cannot be here. I'm talking about when you willfully choose to be absent. Let me make that perfectly clear. Because I don't want somebody to step up at the back and say, well, now you just don't understand. I'm not talking about those who have illness. I'm not talking about those who, because of their work schedules, cannot be here. I am not talking about them. Do you understand me? I'm talking about those who willfully say, I ain't going to be there. That's who we're talking about, because Paul, I believe, aptly describes those people. You make a choice in who you serve by your attendance or lack thereof. You either choose the devil or you're choosing to serve Christ. Gospel meetings allow us to show that we have influence. You can influence your family, friends, neighbors, brethren. It never ceases to amaze me. You ask someone, well, I missed you Sunday night. What happened? Thought you was going to be here. Expected you to be here. Well, we had family show up. I had a neighbor knock on the door as I was getting ready to walk out the door, and I just couldn't. I couldn't tell him no. Why couldn't you? Oh, maybe you're not living an influential enough life that they know where you're going to be at 5 o'clock on Sunday night, 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. They know your reputation, don't they? You could have an influence for good. by the example of your presence being with the brothers and sisters in Christ, or for ill by the example of your absence. You see, gospel meetings like the one we've got coming up impact a lot of people in a lot of different ways. Are you going to help that impact? There might be someone dying, someone lost in their sins that is looking to you, comes to our meeting hoping for your presence here, and we say, well, they just don't come any other time. Now, what we've seen today is that we should support a great message. We need to receive this great message and send a great message. Now, I know, as my mama used to tell me, Jeff, when you're blunt, you sound like you're harsh. I get it. And this lesson, I'm pretty sure, come across as pretty hard. But I'm not really trying to put a guilt trip on anybody, but to bring to light in your lives that you hold a great value in your presence at meetings and other times that we're assembled. Because the value of this meeting is great. And I also want to encourage you to take advantage and utilize the opportunity that gospel meetings put forth. Like I said, there's a lot of effort, a lot of time, and a lot of money has been put into this. Now, how many here like to waste money? If you do, I'll be standing at the back door with my hand open, okay? I guarantee you there's not a person here that likes to waste money. So why would we want the church to waste money by having a gospel meeting if I'm not going to be there? And I want to leave you with the final thought here with the words of the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7. He says, "Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." Or some translations say, "in all things." Think about this lesson. And I hope, in the nicest way possible, that I have struck a nerve with somebody, and that you will come to an understanding that we need you. We need you here during the gospel meeting, but more than that, we need you here all the time. Think about it. Think about what God's Word says. And if you're allowing yourself to miss the assembly, consider that it's a sin. The Hebrew writer says, "Don't forsake the assembling of yourself together, as is the manner of some." The habit, the translation that we put on the screen was. It's a habit. You know, when he wrote that passage, there was a lot of persecution. They were threatened with death. They were threatened with losing their livelihood. And the Hebrew writer says, don't let that stop you. They were meeting in the catacombs under the city of Rome to worship Christ, to serve God. And there were some that didn't let the threat of death stop them. Why should we let anything in this life stop us? It may be that you're here this morning. You're not a child of God. This is your opportunity to put Christ on in baptism, to allow this great message of Christ to prick your heart, to cut your heart, and help you to understand what you need to do. It may be that you've allowed the sins of the world, the temptations of the world, to lead you to sin. This is your opportunity as well to come back to